Proverbs chapter 2, and Lord willing, we'll look at several Proverbs this morning, but we'll start Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. I'm reading from the ESV translation. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. Gracious God, we ask that you would give us humble, teachable, obedient hearts, and that we might receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have noted in our series in Proverbs that Proverbs is a book about obtaining wisdom, and our definition for wisdom, our brief definition, is the intellectual and practical and moral ability to navigate life well. And we've been camping out in the first 9 sections for several weeks now. This is the first section, major section of the book. The second major section is chapters 10 to the end. And I've been trying to give some of the navigational beacons, some of the highlights, some of the main things to watch out for as we read through chapters 1 through 9 together during the week. We've looked at the major driving metaphors, the two women, the two roads. Another major thing to look out for in the book of Proverbs is the repeated exhortation from the father and the mother to get wisdom. Over and over, you'll see that brief command, get wisdom, or do not forsake wisdom. Let me give you an example in chapter 4. This is a running theme, but this is a good example in chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the father's instruction. He says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." There's that phrase, do not forsake. "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and he said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" It's another running theme in the book of Proverbs that wisdom leads to life. It's a matter of life or death. Look what he says in verse 5. Here's that brief command. Get wisdom. Get insight. "Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you." And then look at verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom. In fact, so many times in Proverbs, turn back to chapter 2 with me, it is pointed out that wisdom is more valuable than any material treasure that this world has to offer. It's that important. Chapter 2, verse 4. "If you seek it like silver," that is wisdom, "and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." If you seek it, if you seek it like you would seek the worldly treasures of silver and gold, you will find it. Chapter 3, let me give you another example. Verse 13. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her." The message is very clear. Never, ever, ever give up on the pursuit of wisdom. Do absolutely anything you can to gain it, whatever it costs. Why? Because wisdom offers something that no worldly possession can give you. And it is life. Wisdom will lead to life. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. We have a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. We have a tree of life in the book of Revelation. We have a tree of life in the book of Proverbs. And again, as we know and we saw last week, ultimately the pursuit of wisdom is the pursuit of the tree of life, who is Jesus Christ, wisdom incarnate. And so one reason the Father spends so much time in chapters 1 through 9, and this one reason we're spending several weeks in chapters 1 through 9, before we get to the pithy sayings that we typically associate with the book of Proverbs, is because the Father knows that the exhortations about how to navigate life are absolutely worthless if your heart is not right with God first. The first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is a repeated call to pursue wisdom incarnate, to get your heart right with Christ, we can say through the lens of the New Testament. So, if the pursuit of wisdom is that important, that essential, how do you get it? I love that verse, chapter 4. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. We could paraphrase that. Here's how you get wisdom. Go get it. Go get it. It's there for the taking. It's not hidden. Pursue it. The idea there is that wisdom does not come to those who are the most fortunate. Wisdom does not come to those who are the most rich. Wisdom does not come to those who are the most powerful. Wisdom comes to those who are the most dogged. Wisdom comes to those who make up their mind, I am going to pursue the pathway of life. Pursue it. You will find it, and it will lead you to life. What does pursuing it look like? What does traveling the road of life look like? That's what I want to talk about this morning from Proverbs. And as I read Proverbs, I see 4 main ways that Proverbs holds out to us in the pursuit of wisdom, how a person grows wise. Experience, tradition, mistakes, and revelation. Let me unpack those briefly, one at a time. First, experience. As you read through the book of Proverbs, it becomes apparent that the wise person is one who has experienced life. The wise person is one who has experienced a variety of circumstances. The wise person is one who has experienced a variety of different people and has had the time and the experience to make observations about those varieties of circumstances and people. Experience is so important, and because of that, it's generally true that old people tend to be wiser than young people. There are certainly exceptions to that. I've known some old fools. But generally, older people are wiser. You never, in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, see the son lecturing the father and mother. Not once. It's always the older, wiser, experienced, observant father and mother who have experienced life speaking to the younger son. Let me give an example of experience and observation. Look at chapter 6. This is a well-known one. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Verse 6. Go to the ant, the father tells his son. O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food and harvest. The father instructs his son, go outside. Children, you ever hear your parents say, go outside. Go experience some life. Go experience something other than the TV. Go outside. Enjoy the experience of observing nature. Enjoy the experience of observing the ant. And through that life experience, you'll draw this lesson. Verse 9. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man? Go outside, experience life, observe, and receive some wisdom. Let me give you another example a little later, chapter 7. Father warns his son about the dangers of immoral women. Sharing an observation, sharing an experience of life. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. I've seen this. I've experienced it. I was looking out my window and I saw it. This young man being taken into the home of an immoral woman. He warns his sons. Skip down to verse 24. And now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she laid low. And all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Experiencing life, drawing observations, carefully observing people, circumstances, constantly reflecting and learning. Proverbs holds that out as one way to pursue wisdom. But observation and experience don't always have to be firsthand, right? It doesn't always have to be personal experience. So I see a second category in Proverbs that I'm going to call tradition. The wise person doesn't just gain wisdom by experiencing and observing life firsthand, but he also gains wisdom by listening to the observations of others. So much of what the father teaches the son is based on tradition that he received from others. Back in chapter 4, verse 3, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, my father passed to me what his father passed to him, what his father passed to him. That is tradition. That is the wise observation of the ages and the generations being passed down from one to the other, experiences that others have had and learned, and now passing it down so that we may become wise. The son did not have to directly observe it. He didn't have to directly experience it. In other words, we can learn wisdom from the traditions of those who have gone before us. That's different from firsthand experience. In fact, as you get into the book of Proverbs, you'll see that this collection of wisdom is not just from the Israelite tradition. But the book of Proverbs draws on wisdom traditions from all over the ancient Near East, from Egypt and Mesopotamia. In fact, in Proverbs 22, 23, and 24, there is a series of 30 sayings of the wise. And those 30 sayings of the wise draw from the Egyptian composition, the instruction of Amenemope. Very similar. That shouldn't scare us. That shouldn't scare us away. Because a wise person recognizes that all truth is God's truth. And if it's true, it's true. In fact, turn back with me to 1 Kings, where we have the story of God's gift of wisdom to Solomon, which is the genesis of the book of Proverbs, in 1 Kings chapter 4. beginning in verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Notice, he does not disparage the wisdom of the other nations. He does not disparage the wisdom of Egypt. He does not disparage the wisdom of Mesopotamia. He simply says, Solomon's wisdom surpassed all of theirs. But borrowing from those just illustrates the truth that all truth is God's truth. So receiving sound instruction and the observation of others passed down as tradition from generation to generation, Proverbs holds forth as a legitimate way to grow in wisdom. Let me give you a third one. You have experience. You have tradition. Another way Proverbs recognizes for growing in wisdom is learning from mistakes. Proverbs absolutely assumes throughout the book that everyone is going to make bad choices along the way. That is going to happen. It's inevitable. But the difference between the wise man or woman and the fool is the wise man learns from his mistakes, and the fool does not. The fool refuses to change in the face of his mistakes. And there are two key words to look out for as you read through Proverbs. They're related words. Often they're in parallel to one another. Discipline and reproof. Discipline and reproof. The idea is correction. I'll give you an example. Proverbs 12:1. This is a good one. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. How about that? If you love wisdom, you are willing to accept correction and reproof when you make mistakes or poor choices in life. Discipline and reproof are directed to pull us back onto the path when we've wandered off. That's a hard thing to accept. Discipline is a hard thing to accept. Discipline requires admitting that you were wrong. It requires admitting that you've made a mistake. That's a humbling thing to do, right? But the wise person is a humble person. Humility and wisdom go hand in hand. The wise person is not a proud one. Proverbs has a lot to say about the dangers of pride. Let me just share some Proverbs with you about the dangers of pride. Lady Wisdom in 8:13 says, "Pride and arrogance are the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate." Proverbs 3:34, "Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor." Proverbs 11:2, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom." Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." And Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The point is, learning from our mistakes is part of the roadway to wisdom. And it takes humility and honesty to see our weaknesses and see our failures and allow this kind of instruction to work its benefits. The beginning of wisdom is this: get it. Get it through experience. Get it through tradition. Get it through learning from your mistakes. But as we have already seen, the real heart of wisdom is God Himself. Revelation. The revelation of God. And apart from God, there is no true insight to this world. Apart from God, there is no true insight to yourself. Apart from God, there is no true wisdom. He sets the stage with this. Remember, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You'll never gain wisdom apart from the acknowledgement of the one true God. Everything must be understood in relationship to Him. He provides the ultimate instruction that we need to navigate life well. And friends, that means we must study true wisdom in the Word of God. Look back at our passage. Chapter 2, verse 6. Yes, we get wisdom through experience. Yes, we get wisdom through tradition. Yes, we get wisdom through learning from our mistakes if we're humble. But ultimately, true wisdom requires a deep knowledge of the Scriptures. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Think about the life of Christ. You look at Jesus in the gospel. Jesus makes every move He makes based on the Word of God. Even up to the point of His very death, hanging on the cross, He's quoting the Word of God to explain His own death. Friends, the road to wisdom means that we have to increase our knowledge of the Word of God. And as you dig into the Word of God, determined to pursue wisdom, you will find that it leads you to the wisdom of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who know Jesus will be made wise. Through Him, you can be reconciled to God. Through Him, you can be reconciled to other people. Through Him, you can be reconciled to His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the repeated calls, a message of Your grace to travel on the road of life. Lord, we ask that You would help us to pursue wisdom. Give us the desire, give us the zeal to pursue it through experience, to pursue it through tradition, to pursue it through our mistakes, and to pursue it through Your revelation and Your Word. And in Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray in His holy name. Amen.